And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, commentators have noted that never before in American history has someone who has been the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in other words, the head of the armed forces, said about the president, who in wartime is the commander-in-chief, that the president is fascist to his core. But Trump's chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley,
former chairman.
But when he made the comment, when he formed the conclusion, he was the chairman.
Yes.
When he left office, apparently he commented to Bob Woodward that Trump was fascist to his core, but he had just realized it at the end of his tenure and then he left. Now, I don't want to get into why he didn't realize it before, but I do want to get into the substance of the comment. Because what does that mean in terms of the Trump people who always say, don't pay attention to what he says. He doesn't mean the details of what he says. It's just his rhetoric. He will never really do that. But fascists always do. And in general, candidates always do what they say they're going to do. Or at least they try to do it.
Right. Otherwise, why say it?
Why say it? Exactly.
You know, sometimes you promise things that you can't do or you abandon because other exigencies take place. But, you know, this is not the first time that Mark Milley has talked about this, but it's the first time he directly attributed this to Donald Trump. If you remember, he gave a speech. I don't know if it was a commencement speech at one of the academies or to another group of soldiers, where he said, "In America, we don't have a king, or a dictator, or a tyrant, or a wannabe tyrant." If you remember that speech he gave,
yes, I do recall.
And it was a thinly veiled reference to Donald Trump, but this is much more direct.
And the thing is that he's speaking very specifically, because some people say, well, fascism, you know, they use it as a general throwaway word. Like you say, oh, he's a jerk. Right. Or he's a moron. Well, by that you mean, oh, he's irresponsible, he doesn't get things, he's not as swift as other people are. But moron actually has a very specific medical definition. Fascism is not a word that Milley is using in a general way. He's meaning it very specifically. He's a historian. He's pointing to the fascist movement of which we all have history. Because for the older people, we grew up in a world in which fascism was a force that was the war was fought against, World War II.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, if people have been listening to our show and have been listening to our references to the work of Ruth Ben-Ghiat, you would understand this. That's her specialty. And, you know, to some extent, we've kind of been pussyfooting around. You use the word authoritarian or autocrat type of thing. But the word fascist has an apt meaning here.
Yeah.
He's following the playbook of Mussolini. On her show this weekend, she talked about that, trying to get control of certain things, the rhetoric has been there. Remember, the press was the enemy of the people. Now we're having the words "the enemy within," and he's out there talking about rounding people up who don't agree with him, who oppose him, using the military as a domestic tool of enforcement, and not necessarily legal enforcement. You know, he's not going to go to court and ask for a writ to get somebody. He's going to go out and just do it. he's going to make those orders as commander-in-chief. And of course, we shouldn't forget that the Supreme Court has essentially allowed him to do this with their immunity decision last term. As long as they've said his powers as official acts are immune from any recourse, and that...
Or even any act that's reasonably connected with an official function.
Yeah, you can't even question certain things. If he has direct conversations with his joint chiefs, or if he and they didn't seem to have any problem of ordering SEAL Team 6 out there doing things as commander in chief.
No, he says to Milley or whoever,
yeah,
send a team for national security purposes to shoot David Falk. He cannot be questioned, much less prosecuted. Even if David Falk is a gentleman who sits and studies and now and then writes or makes a lecture, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If he says, for national security purposes, according to Alito and Thomas and the majority of the Roberts Court, that's it. It's legal.
That's why I was kind of disappointed in the argument when they were engaged in that in the Supreme Court, that the anti-Trump position didn't just pose a hypothetical to the members of the court saying, well, you know, after November 5th, if Joe Biden decides that Donald Trump shouldn't take office, he could make an order and he could arrest you guys.
Correct.
You know, put it right in their lap. They just don't seem to have any thought that that could apply to them.
Well, because they don't intend it to apply to them.
Of course. They know Trump won't apply to them, but they think they won't. But if they do something in the least that angers him, they could be on the chopping block.
Right. I want to get back to a more general consideration of fascism, because there are various types of fascism. There's the fascism of Mussolini that you spoke of. That's the original fascism. There was the fascism of the Nazis, Hitler. That's a different kind of fascism. There's the fascism of Horthy in Hungary, of, again, different. Salazar in Portugal, Franco in Spain, Pinochet in Chile, Foster in South Africa. Each has a variation in the form of the fascism. German fascism, Nazi fascism, featured genocide. Mussolini didn't feature genocide. Later he went along with it when the Germans insisted that he round up the Jews. But that wasn't a feature of Italian fascism. Racism was. What all of these groups, all of these movements have in common is, first of all, they have no coherent ideology. The ideology shifts depending on the local circumstances that they're trying to solve. They aim for, first of all, it's terror. They rely on terror. They rely on dictatorship. They feature not patriotism, but chauvinism. In other words, the nation replaces God. In Nazi Germany, the church was subordinated to the cult of the Aryan race. In Italy, in Spain, they had a compact with the church. It's a little different. But the point is, this is a chauvinistic branch of the ruling group in the country.
Well, you know, when you're going through your list of fascists and dictators, in my mind it was clicking. These are each chapters in the book Strongmen by Ruth Ben-Gvir. She goes through all of them.
Yeah.
And in some ways it makes some sense, because each country has a different history and a different culture.
Right.
So
they have in common that they all rely on terror. These are terrorist organizations, these fascist regimes. They all rely on dictatorship. Forget about elections or meaningful elections. Yeah. They all are looking backward, not forward. They all want to go back to an imagined golden age that never existed, but which they're pointing to. They are all They all elevate the nation as the guiding lodestar. They are chauvinistic. Some of them, the Italians and the Germans, were aggressive war makers. Franco, a little bit. Salazar, a lot. Pinochet, not. But they support aggressive war if they have to, if they're for it. Well, but the main thing is they all of it is to make sure working people are controlled and to make sure that big business, which now means the banks, the hedge funds, and the main monopolies, get to do what they want to do. That's the point of it all.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. It's only a century of history.
Yeah, it's a century of history. Well, yeah, it's when Mussolini started a little over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But they, you can, the use of fear, which is the first cousin of terror, is something, but it goes both ways. Fear and terror go a little bit differently. One, they want you to fear some external type of force or some group of the other.
Or their own armed forces.
Or what?
Don't forget, they arrest their political enemies right away.
That's the terror part.
That's the terror part.
When it applies to you, it's terror. When they're looking at someone else, it's fear. You fear the other, but you're terrorized for your own sake into becoming quiescent.
Right.
A type of thing.
Right, exactly.
And, for fear of being punished individually.
In Mussolini's Italy, if he arrested you, the standard was shoving castor oil down you to make you confess, make you name names. Torture is a standard operation in these regimes.
But the other part of it, you were touching on it, is this kleptocracy, plutocracy type of government that they want to set up. They're all thieves. They're all grifters. The Nazis looted everything that they could loot, from artworks. That was Goering's specialty, but you couldn't have modern art because Hitler didn't like it. Pulling the gold out of people's teeth that you were killing. So
their armies, their troops, were encouraged to go into people's houses and steal linen and ship it home to their wives.
Yeah, I mean,
looting, literally looting.
Looting. So that you had the kleptocracy. Then you had Putin, on a larger getting the state run things to run for your own benefit.
Exactly.
And stealing everything that way. It's interesting. You talk about monopolies or business. What we have now, and we've been seeing with Trump, is this cabal of the billionaires who are at the forefront of backing him. And as we were discussing before the show, most, some of the more prominent ones are all immigrants to the United States. You've got Rupert Murdoch, the Australian, who's, become the mouthpiece of, it's no longer the right wing, it's Trumpist fascism.
Well, it's the fascist movement,
Right. You've got Elon Musk now on board, financing all sorts of things. There's a group that he finances that's playing a dirty trick right now in Pennsylvania, sending out false campaign literature claiming that Kamala Harris is going to do all these harmful things under the guise of something called Project 2028.
Which has so far not come into existence.
Which doesn't exist. You've got Peter Thiel.
And by the way, Musk, who is the beneficiary of billions of dollars of United States government contract.
And also government subsidies for the purchase of electric cars.
That's right. and government R&D that he uses for his private profit.
Right. And then you got Peter Thiel, German-born. And
that's the greatness of America, right? The mingling of all of the immigrants.
Yeah, and he's the big backer of J.D. Vance. Vance used to work for him.
Right.
You know, there's a theory out there, and I'm not saying I subscribe to it, but it's an interesting theory, that the whole idea of Thiel was to get Vance in there, and if Trump wins the election, sort of ease him out or get rid of him or whatever, and then Vance becomes the president.
Well, Trump could easily die. He is 78.
Yeah, and he's not doing well.
No, he's cognitively impaired. That seems clear.
Yeah.
And it's only he's a hamburger away from a stroke.
Yeah. And that's a hamburger with ketchup.
But ketchup's a vegetable, don't forget.
That's it. And then you have Marion Adelson.
Yep.
A Palestinian.
She's actually a Palestinian.
Yeah. Born during the British Mandate.
Right. In Tel Aviv.
In Tel Aviv. And these are among they've each ponied up close to around $100 million.
Right.
Either directly or indirectly.
Right.
I guess, you know, Trump hasn't made enough with his sneakers and his Bible.
Right.
On that. But don't forget, that's the money he's putting in his pocket.
Right.
That's not going to his campaign.
No. Or to his legal expenses.
Or to his legal expenses. Yeah. Yeah. So we have that phenomenon going on. And the thing is that even when it's pointed out, you still have all these people in the Republican Party who are essentially willing to go along with it.
But that's all right. That's what you have. That's the balance of forces. But the truth is, the majority of the people of the country are against it.
Yes.
It would be horrible if the majority of the people of the country supported it. You had that exact situation in Nazi Germany. At the beginning of Hitler's reign, the majority of the people opposed him.
Right.
He only 4 years down the line, he terrorized, he arrested, he got rid of his political opposition, he dissolved any organization that opposed him, and then he ran rigged elections, really rigged elections, but the majority of the Germans came to accept him because he produced jobs, because there's another important component to fascism, and that is fascism requires, and it always has when it's successful, a mass base. A mass base of people who have been pushed out of the working class or because there's no work for them, or people who have been pushed out of small businesses because larger businesses have put them into bankruptcy. But there is a social base of people. That's why Trumpists are called populists. These are anti-socialist people who rebel against capitalism. So who do they blame? Immigrants, black people, Jews, sure. Jewish bankers, and so forth. But there's a mass movement. There's a real mass movement.
Right. It's never your own fault or your own weaknesses. It's always someone else.
And it might be someone else. I mean, the fact that a company lays off 1,000 people is not the fault of the 1,000 people who got laid off.
Right.
You know, it's the fault of either because the company can't compete or because they decided they'd move operations to make more profit with cheaper labor costs somewhere else. But it's not the workers' fault, but the workers are pissed off, and why shouldn't they be? So now along comes two types. The socialist comes along and says, listen, this is how capitalism works. The fascist comes along and says, no, this is how Jewish capitalism works. Get the Jews out of it. Capitalism will work fine for you. Or this is how the blacks are stealing your job, the Chinese are stealing your job, or whatever.
The Latinos.
The Latinos are stealing your job, right. Exactly.
That
produces the mass base for the fascists. That has to be opposed. The job of progressives then is to prevent that from happening as much as possible. The job is to produce not only a coherent explanation of what's going on, but policies that actually challenge and would prevent what's going on from happening. More regulation, less monopolization, that kind of thing. A ban on price rigging, more social housing, less privatization, that kind of thing, together with the education that shows people who's benefiting from what. Because in the last election, 2020, when people who voted in 2016 were asked in 2020, why are you voting? Are you voting because you support the candidate, or because you oppose who you voted for, or because you oppose the candidate that you're voting against? It turned out that most people who voted for Biden were voting not for Biden, but were voting against Trump. If the disaffected voters, if the intermittent voters, if the people who are swing voters come out to vote, they're going to come out to vote largely to vote against who they don't like. And therefore, they need to see that Trump is their enemy. There is an enemy within. It's the fascists.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Trump has portrayed himself as their friend, as their champion.
Exactly. But it's our job to make clear that he's not.
Well, and that's sort of the closing arguments as we're seeing it evolve now. That Harris is out there talking about Trump as being the great danger. You know, she started out as a candidate of joy, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And in a traditional campaign, the optimist usually defeats the pessimist. But Trump, any campaign with Trump is not a usual type of campaign.
No.
And a lot of the pundits have a hard time understanding that. Trump is doubling and tripling down on this idea of fear and dystopian view and knocking things down and portraying himself as, like we just said, the great savior, that only he can do that. Never mind the fact that he can very rarely get anything done. You know, he didn't build a wall. He didn't get Mexico to pay for it. He didn't get an infrastructure bill. He didn't have a better health care plan. All of these things just get skimmed over.
Right, but because he has Murdoch, and because he has a plethora of...
And Musk.
Yeah, but I'm thinking specifically of the media.
Right.
He's able to get away with saying, you live better under me than you did under Biden. Despite the fact that his response to COVID, the only real issue of his presidency that was, you know, threatening to people, that was important to people, he bungled it totally. At least 500,000 people, Americans, died who needn't have died if he hadn't have denigrated public health and science in general.
Yeah, and you know, the attack on science is part of the fascist movement as well. The attack on knowledge.
Yep, and culture.
And the culture.
Mussolini's son-in-law famously was quoted as saying, when I hear the word culture, I reach for my revolver.
Well, look what happened in Florida this week. You know, they have this proposition on the ballot involving abortion, and there are ads being run on television. And Ron DeSantis threatened the organizations who were running the ads.
And the TV stations that ran the ads.
Yes, yeah. Saying it's going to shut them down.
Yeah.
And went to court. It didn't go very well for them. The judge essentially said, what part of the First Amendment don't you understand?
Yeah.
But that they'd even have the audacity to try this. And then there are people that...
Because they drew the wrong judge. They drew the wrong judge. But you know, they could have drawn Judge Cannon.
Correct. Who would have delayed anything till after the election type of stuff. Yeah.
And if Trump gets elected, he's going to have a chance to appoint another 200 federal judges on top of the 400 he's already appointed.
And he may get a chance to appoint two more Supreme Court judges who will be much younger than Alito and Thomas, the oldest judges.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's on the line. But, you know, you don't even hear Supreme Court mentioned these days. It's the election has taken a different different tact and different series of paths.
But, you know, we will hear from them because, after all, Trump's theory of election is to challenge any Democratic victory in any state, or for that matter, in any polling booth.
Yeah. Now, we have some things going on. You know, early voting has started in some places.
Pennsylvania.
Yes, but we also, that's mostly write-in voting rather than polling stops. I mean, you have to have a ballot. You can go into the voter registration in Lackawanna County and vote.
Yeah.
My son did that directly. But places like Georgia and North Carolina, where people have to line up, they've been lining up in record numbers. In Pennsylvania, I think there's somewhat of a little lag in getting the mail-in ballots back, which is not good for the Democrats. But I know that they're working on that. That's their main thrust over these next 2 weeks, is to get the mail-in ballots that have been cast or that have been sent out returned. And they better do it quickly, because with Louis DeJoy still there, the postal service is
despite the fact that this has been litigated in previous elections, you know that the Republicans will try to get all of these mail ballots that they can thrown out.
Well, they were in court this week on mail ballots from overseas, including the military.
Right.
I mean, and you know, there they are saying that we don't want military ballots necessarily to be counted, and people in the military still voting for them.
I know.
But that's the appeal of the populist, fat neo-fascist messaging machine.
That's right.
They actually think that these people are going to, you know, be supportive of them. And they're not. When I say these people, I mean the Trumpists.
Yeah.
And the Project 2025 people. That kind of thing.
Yeah, what you mean is Trump and Musk.
Yeah.
Teal.
Yeah.
Trump and Musk and Teal are in it for themselves. They're not in it for working people.
Right. By the way, I noticed that we haven't seen a lot of this, but Michaela Cathio, who's running for state rep on a district that overlaps Lackawanna and Luzerne counties, is now playing the Trump card. She's showing herself with Trump, and I think that's a play for the Luzerne County vote, where Trump is more popular than he is in Lackawanna County. And we're seeing, you know, we'll see what happens in the McCormick-Casey election. Notice we haven't had Trump insert himself in that too much, although McCormick has been on the same stage as Trump at the rallies. So it'll be interesting. You know, the polling of that race is way, you know, all over the place. I've seen where they think McCormick's closing the gap. It's down to 2 or 4 points. And then the last poll I saw, it's Casey up by 9. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's ridiculous. In any case, the polling on our time is up.
Yeah. Big debate this week between Matt Cartwright and Rob Bresnahan. It's the only debate they're going to have. Down at Wilkes University.
Will it be televised or broadcast?
Yeah, it's going to be televised on the PBS station, WVIA. Right. And Monday is the last day to register to vote. And the 29th is the last day to ask for a mail-in ballot, which is probably too late, because by the time they send it out, you get it and goes back. It's going to be after the election day. So
unless you bring it to the election office yourself.
Right, right. There are drop boxes in Lackawanna County.
In any case, we'll have plenty to talk about next week. Fascism is unfortunately not disappearing.
No.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.